Well, we are in a new series this morning and excited about it and just really believing God's going to do some incredible things over the next 5 weeks. And you believe 5 weeks until 2019? It's crazy, right? What happened to 2018? Yep, well, it's back there. We get a new year. We get a new start over. Isn't that great about life? You get a new start every year. If it was terrible, you get to push a button and restart. So in five more weeks, you get to push a button. All right. Y'all going to be quiet like that all sermon? Good. That's awesome. I'm going to put all of y'all, every person's going to have to come up and preach once to a quiet crowd. It's extremely fun. You should try it. There's a line waiting for that to happen. All right. Well, we are going to kick off this morning. If you would turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to kick off this the series here, and I'm not real sure where we're going to end, but I think it has something to do with Jesus. Okay. Man. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Keep that up, buddy. Just put that in a mic and just push it like on a button every now and again when it's real quiet. That'll help. Awesome. Well, cool. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I pray for these people in this room. Lord, help them. Help them, Lord. Lord, we just pray for your spirit to move in our lives this morning. God, we thank you that Lord, there's so many things that you desire to do through our lives, and I just pray, God, that you would awaken us to those things, God. I thank you that your word, it never returns void, and God, it always accomplishes what it's sent out to do. So, Lord, we thank you that as your word goes forth, that it falls on hungry hearts this morning, that it changes us, it challenges us, it equips us, and Lord, we just thank you, God, for everything that you're going to do over the next several weeks. And God, I pray more than anything that you'd be made more famous today than you were yesterday. And if you believe that, say amen. All right, Luke chapter 26 is what we're going to read. We're going to start off. We're going to go through about 12 verses, 11 verses or so. So we're going to read quite a bit. And then I'm going to reverse and go back through it. Because I feel like it's important to kind of know the context and then kind of come back. So, and I have the mic. And y'all are too quiet to say anything else. So, I'm just kidding. Verse 26, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel, which is the angel, appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. So just a hindsight, if the angel ever comes to you and says, greetings, run. I'm just kidding. That's the whole point of the story. 29, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestors, David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you have said about me come true. And the angel left her. Man, that's a whole different thing than a lot of times what we think about when Christmas, right? We don't realize, we see the significance in the fact of Jesus and he's celebrated. But how many of you know that for us to celebrate Jesus, somebody else had to be inconvenienced? And I think about a lot of things. What are things that God are trying to celebrate through our lives that we're being inconvenienced on? And like, that's a whole different thing. God bless Mary and all of her adventures. But how many of you know when our lives are interrupted, it doesn't seem as fun, right? We are all about hanging wreaths and putting up Christmas trees and lights and all of that. But how many of you know that Mary was probably in a dark room crying to herself? And there was nothing about being light and exciting, right? And so I want to pick up this story here because how many of you know that the whole sermon series, Excuse the Interruption, is more about us than it is about her? Because I believe that God is on a, he's after us to excuse, to interrupt some things in our lives and say, hey, can I have your life? Can I have a part of who you are for a small moment in time? And I want to kind of break this down to you in kind of how I perceived it and how I believe that what God is really trying to speak to us as humankind today. Because how many of you know that God had a plan? He put Jesus on the cross. But how many of you know there's still some more things that he wants to do? There are still some more people that are hurting and broken and need a Savior. And how many of you know that oftentimes he needs us to help him do that? And so this title is called Fight or Follow. Because I believe that's what we do with God's plans. We either fight them, and we're dragging and we're clawing, and we're like, no, God, no, don't take me to Africa, because that's what we all assume is going to happen, right? Or he's going to send you to an orphanage, and you've got to, you know, you've got to do whatever. And we all have these perceptions of what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to eat this certain type of food in this foreign country, and all we're going to think about is pizza in America, and we're going to, that's torture, right? We all have those perceptions of what this plan, so we either fight it or we follow it. But oftentimes, there's typically a fight before we follow, if we're really honest. But Mary shows the way of how we should respond when God asks a question, when God has a different plan for our lives. And, oh, sweet Mary, I mean, she's so precious. But how many of you know that there are some things going on in her heart? We can't assume that she said, oh, great, awesome, sign me up. That there was some things going on internally that she was wrestling with. She was engaged to a man she was in love with and wanted to have her babies. And now all of a sudden, you want me to have a baby. And I'm not even married. And that goes against everything that you've asked me to do. And she's been, it says that she was a virgin. So that's something like, that's a big deal. She did everything she could to make sure she stayed a virgin. And now the Holy Spirit is coming in and saying, hey, I need your womb. I was actually going to title this, Can I Borrow Your Womb? But I didn't do it. Because I think that's, at the end of the day, that's what God was asking. Jesus was wanting to come in. See, I should have titled it that, right? Yeah. Can I borrow your womb? Man. So we see here that there's an interruption in her plan. She's got this, can't wait, put the ring on my finger. Let's get married. Let's do life. Let's have kids. Let's go to wherever and do vacations on the mountains of Vail. And all these things, right? And all of a sudden, there's this conversation before she gets there. And it's called an interruption. And my question for you is, how are you handling God interruptions in your world, in your life? Because interruption, this is actually the definition of interruption. This is it. It says to stop the continuous progress of an activity or process. Now, for us, what we would typically think of as stopping the progress, it'd be something that we're all about, something that we are enjoying, that oftentimes God comes in. That's the way we look at God, right? It's like anytime God asks me to do something, it's always when I'm having fun. And he comes in, and he makes me not have fun. But how many of you know that you can't have fun outside of God's will? You can for a season, but it's never going to be beneficial. And so here's what I want to drive home for you this morning is this, is that interruptions never come in the form of convenience. That if you're looking to live out God's plan and be convenient, you're never going to live out God's plan. That you can't live out the plan that God has for you in the form of convenience. That oftentimes God will do something in your life that because, that, you know, how many of you know that we're human nature, so we don't always just choose God's best for us. We don't always just say, oh, I want God's plan. No, oftentimes God has to come in and rearrange our heart and kind of rearrange some ways that we view some things that he's asking us to do. And then we say yes. But how many of you know that it oftentimes comes in the form of inconvenience? And if it comes in the form of inconvenience, then oftentimes we put it off for a lot longer than we should. Right? Like Mary is like has this conversation. She's like, I'll get back with you in a year. Once I get married and everything's worked out, I'll holler at you. How many of you know that that doesn't work for God's plan? Because God needed a virgin, and if she went ahead and had married Joseph and has a baby, she ruins the whole plan. And sometimes we want to intervene, and we want to say, well, God, I'll get back to you, but the thing that he needs is the thing that you are now. And God is asking you to, will you be who I need you to be now, not later. Right? And so are you willing to let your plans go for God's is the question. Are you willing to let go of your plans for God's? Now, we're in church, and everybody's been in the presence of God, and everybody would say yes right now. But today when you leave, and you're sitting at the restaurant, and their food is late, and the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, there's a plan here. Well, I got a different plan. I'm going to go tell the manager that this waiter stinks, and that this kitchen, right? There's a plan. But oftentimes we jump into something and we make our plan God's plan. No one's ever done that, right? No one's ever made God's plan your plan, or your plan God's plan, I mean, right? I have. I've definitely made God's plan my plan. It's my plan, God, so you just go along with it, all right? And then, hey, God, when we get to here, then this is what we're going to do, right? Oh, yeah, sure, right? How much of a mess would our lives be if we went along and asked God to go with our plans? So just so you know, can I be really transparent? You guys like me when I'm transparent? So I've been married 10 years and a few months to the best woman I could have ever married. But before that, I was engaged and 2 months away from being married. But God interrupted my plan for his plan. And I just wonder how many things that we're willing to be interrupted with at the sake of, you realize that all these people knew, I was in church at the time, and people knew me, and all the church had their invitations. It's awesome. Hey, so you know about that wedding that we were planning? Yeah, it's not happening. Oh, cool. Man, sorry. I mean, you got a whole church full of people like, oh, hey, so real awkward. It's like Mary walking around pregnant, not married to Joseph. Sometimes you don't understand God's plan, and it may not look like it's God's plan, but it is God's plan. And so many times we try to get in and we try to mess with God's plan instead of just going along with the plan, right? Like all of us, we have this plan, right? We've got like, I'm going to have 3 kids. I'll have a certain amount of retirement by this plan. Then that changes everything because you had those kids, right? And then they said they want to go to the most expensive college in the world. And then that plan changes. How many of you know that you can't live your life based on your plans? The best plan you can do is submit and surrender to his. I know that's easy from here, but I want you to know that I'm doing everything I can to live in that plan. And I believe that you have the ability to live and fulfill everything that God has for you if you're okay with being inconvenienced. Because, right, I mean, Mary has a plan, but God knocks on the door of her heart and says, hey, I have a different way about things. Would you entertain this conversation? And I believe that God is wanting to have a conversation with us. And maybe you have your plan already figured out. Maybe you hear God and you know, but there's going to be a season where the plan that God is asking you to take and the steps that he's calling you into are going to be not as easy as you thought they would be. I mean, I know for me, there have been certain things that have been really easy to follow God on. And then there have been other ones that have been excruciating and painful. And those are the ones I tried to bail on. But I want you to know those are the ones that paid off huge dividends. Huge. Like, I got to see God on a whole new level. Which brings me to this next thing, is that interruptions come with an opportunity to enlarge your faith. That, like, God, Mary knew God, but after this conversation, Mary really knew God. Like carrying his kid kind of faith, God. And I think my point is this, is that, look, you're looking for to go to this next level as a believer. I think if we're honest, we're all looking to go to that next level with God. But how many of you know that it doesn't just happen by sitting in a chair and coming to church on a Sunday? It comes by stepping out into God's plan and saying, man, I don't know, for I had plans, but God, you have a different direction. And it's in that you get to see God and what he can really do in your life when you follow it. And so Mary went from believing God just to get married to now she's carrying the Messiah. Her faith was extremely increased. Because now she's actually carrying, and she begins to feel a baby kicking in her stomach. She begins to feel movement. She begins to feel what it feels like for a woman to carry a baby. And every trimester, there's another level of faith. Oh my gosh, I really am carrying the Messiah. Like, I know that I have not been with a man, yet I'm pregnant. And there are things that God is going to have you carry, and you're going to begin to carry these things. And as you begin to carry them more, you're going to begin to reveal, oh my gosh, I am carrying something significant. I said yes to it, and now I can feel the weight and the movement of what I'm carrying. You know what I'm saying? And that is what God is like. I want to enlarge your faith. I want to take you on this journey, but you have to say yes. You can say no, but you're going to miss out on this opportunity for your faith to increase. And we're faith people, right? So why would we miss out on something that's going to challenge and grow our faith when God is saying, I've got a plan for your faith to grow, but this is what it looks like. Some of you have been praying to know God more, and the plan is for you to carry the Messiah. In this story, that's what it was. She was praying, God, I want to know you. Let me show you how you can know me more by carrying the Messiah. Now, I don't think if she'd known that, she may have not prayed that prayer. But it's too late. You know, how do we be good stewards of our Christian life? It's by being willing to abandon our plan for His. That's good stewardship. Good stewardship is saying, okay, God, like, I've got this whole thing that I want to do, but you've come in, and I want to be a good steward of my faith, so by doing that, I honor yours, and that's how you become a good steward. Right? And so our plan shouldn't have more importance than His. I mean, that's what it came down to. Mary had to have a decision with herself and say, okay, I really want to marry Joseph. He is so cute when he walks. You know, all those girls. I mean, he smiles. He's got those cute dimples. I can't wait to marry him. But I have this conversation with God. This angel tells me I'm favored. And I don't think favor should look like that. Right? How do we categorize favor? Favor we carry if it's like in a Corvette, you're driving, you got this huge house. That's favor. Favor could be carrying the baby in your womb where everybody ridicules you and says, sure you did, Mary. All the way up to, who knows, for the rest of her life, she could have been ridiculed. Because even when Jesus died, he still was said he's not the Messiah. So she said yes to something that it altered her entire life's reputation. What are you willing to say yes to that could alter your reputation for life? I mean, you're just one of those guys. That's all you do is you go to church. You play worship in your car. Like, I mean, you know? And it's like, that's what happens when God gets a hold of you. It's that things begin to change and things begin to shift and your reputation becomes assaulted. But never forget, you're carrying the plan of God. So what does it care? What does it matter if a guy or a person or a family doesn't understand your plan? Your plan isn't your plan, it's God's plan. So just continue to walk it out. Right? So it goes on into verse 28, and it says this. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Now, confused and disturbed, because that's what I would be. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Right? Like, what are you wanting from me? Like, what is going on here? And I begin to think about this and process this, and this is what I took away from that conversation that the angel's having with her, and she's having back with him. And this was my thoughts, was that an interruption in our plan is an invitation into His. That what the angel was simply asking is that, look, I understand you have a plan, but can I interrupt it to invite you into a greater plan? And I want you to know this morning that God is looking for people that He can invite into a greater plan. Now, I know you've got your plan laid out, and you've got, you know, you're going to have your two kids, your Labradoodle, or your whatever dog you're going to have, your Chiweenie. It's a Chihuahua weenie dog. Just weird. But anyway, you know, we have these plans where we're going to have this life. But what about God inviting you into a different plan? What does that look like for you and me? What does that look like for Mary? Because I hope that we can begin to see Christmas a little different. Like, as much as we look forward to it every year, think about what it costs to somebody else's life. That when you see these Christmas trees and these lights, that you would see that there was a price paid for somebody else's plan in life so that we would be able to celebrate the very thing that we celebrate. Really, if we're honest, we're celebrating the fact that Mary was obedient. Because there was no Messiah without Mary. Right? I know we know that. But man, what a significant role she carried in our lives. Because she was willing to carry something that a lot of us would have said no to. Right? I mean, I've said no to talking to somebody at Walmart. None of you. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, see, we've said no to some God plans, and she said yes to one of the greatest plans. And I just know for me, sometimes a plan has to be paused for a more necessary plan, and that's exactly what happened with Mary, is that there was this plan that she had to be married, but how many of you know there was a more necessary plan in need? And that is why God asks us to do things. It's not because he wants to rearrange our plan and say, nah, your plan isn't good enough. It's because there's a more important plan that has to happen. And so he interrupts her plan and changes it. And how many of you know that sometimes God adapts and changes our plan? But it's not to eliminate it. It's just to alter it. And a lot of times we look at when God has a conversation with us about a plan that he's going to eliminate it instead of he's going to alter it a little bit. Because if you go through, it didn't say that she couldn't end up being with Joseph. She could end up being with Joseph. It just, there was going to be a small alteration. Okay, on her part, a major alteration. And sometimes there are major alterations in our plans. I mean, I didn't sign up to be in ministry and to preach from the pulpit. My plan was to do something very different. But how many of you know that when God comes in, you have an opportunity to say yes or no to whatever that plan is? And I think that there's nothing more fulfilling than when you really begin to live out his plan for your life. And maybe you're like that. You're like, man, I am so sick and tired of living my own plan, doing my own thing. Today's your day to have faith to step out into that plan. Because I believe that there's nothing more fulfilling than when you are willing to say, you know what, God, I don't know how this looks. I don't know how this is going to happen. How many of you know that when God comes with a plan, it's not your job to figure that out. It's your job to submit to it. She didn't have to figure out, how do I get pregnant? How do I do all this? What do I do to get this all thing, go, all this ball rolling? All she had to do was say yes. And in that moment, God said, okay, because you've said yes, I've got the rest of the plan in place. And God is simply, for some of you this morning, you've been asking and you've been asking and you've been asking for things from God. And all he's waiting for you to do is to say yes to his plan, and the rest is just going to happen. But how many of you know that that takes faith to say yes? I mean, it doesn't take much faith to say yes to ice cream or cheesecake or a nice, healthy family meal. But it says, you know, when it comes to saying yes to God's plan, sometimes it's intimidating and it's overwhelming. And if we're really honest with ourselves, that's where some of us find ourselves this morning. Man, God, this is a huge thing. I don't know how this is going to happen. The things are already worked out on the back end. He just needs you to say yes. Look, humanity is forever going to have problems, right? We live in a broken world, but you know what God uses is you to fix them. And so God is always going to have a plan as long as there's broken people. And guess what? You're that plan. You and I are that plan for broken humanity. That is why this whole thing started, right? How it started is why it's still going today. The fact that God sent this angel to have a conversation with Mary was all about humanity. It was all about restoring us back into our right relationship with Christ. I know that that's easy. I mean, that's understandable. We know that. But what about your life? Like, how is your life fitting into other people's lives? Right? So it goes on from there in verse 28, and I want to catch up in verse 35, so we're going to skip a bunch. We've already read it, so hold, don't. It's okay. In verse 34, it says, Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? And I think some of us, that's what we're asking God. But God, how can this happen? Like, how? And sometimes, you just have to trust God. There is no formula to, if you do this and you do this, then you do this, then you step into God's plan. You just have to learn to say yes. But this is the amazing thing. In verse 35, it says this, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So what's my point? Is this, is that where there is an invitation to a plan, there's also an impartation to that plan. That God didn't just say, hey, Mary, here you go, this is the deal. That when she had this conversation with him, she said, hey, I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to empower you to do that plan. And a lot of times we feel like when we say yes to something, we're doing it in our own strength. What you have to understand is the moment you say yes to God, God's strength comes upon you. And you're able to do things that you didn't think you could do because you're not on your plan, you're on his plan. And when you're in his agenda and you're in his will, there is nothing that you cannot do. That's where it goes into this verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. That when you're in God's plan, there is nothing that is impossible with God. And that there is a plan that God has for you, but you have to be willing to say yes to the invitation, and in the invitation, there's an impartation, and in the impartation, there is nothing that is impossible with God. But most of us, we never get to the there is nothing impossible with God because we never say yes to the invitation. And because we never say yes to the invitation, there's never an impartation, so there's never a level of faith or power to see what God can do through our lives. Right? And so in verse 38, it says this, Mary responded. How many of you know that you have to respond? You can't be like, I mean, I just assumed, yeah, I said yes. Like, no, you actually have to say yes to the plan. God isn't going to say, oh, I just thought, you know, he doesn't read minds. I mean, he does, but he doesn't, if that makes sense. Right? Reads hearts, too. We'll move on. All right. So we see here, she says, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. Wow. Now, for us, like, that doesn't really carry much weight necessarily. But what she was really saying is this, I am fully submitted. I am fully submitted to your plan. I am willing to do whatever you ask me to do, however you ask me to do it, whenever you ask me to do it, is what she was saying. Good for Mary, but for me, that's really tough. For you, I would imagine that that's pretty difficult. But she said, I am your servant. How many know that we can hold on to our own desires, but it's at the expense of our destiny? We can hold on to our desires, but it's at the expense of our destiny. How do you know that Mary could have said no, and she was saying no to her destiny? That's scary. Because the Bible says that before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and had a destiny and a purpose for your life. Right? And so hers was to birth the Messiah. And in one moment, she could have said no to the very thing she was put on the earth for. And my question for us this morning is, what are we saying no to that we're destined for? What are we saying no to that God has actually created us for? That there is something so much more significant. And imagine the fear and the conversation that she had to go have with Joseph. Hey, Joseph, so, yeah, I'm pregnant. Excuse me? I'm pregnant? Really? How did this happen? Well, the Holy Spirit. I mean, imagine the conversation that you're having to have with your fiance. This, I understand, this had never happened before. Like, this was the first. And imagine what she had to go through to get there. Like, I know we see it, and it's like, oh, she said yes. But imagine the emotional trauma, all the pain, all the reputation she's lost. Because at one point, she was looked at as a goody-goody girl. She's pure, she's good, she's righteous. Now, she's sleeping around on her husband, soon to be. She went from amazing to really bad in a moment with one conversation with an angel. I mean, if anybody's going to screw it up, let an angel do it, right? And I just wonder how many of us are trying to evade our destiny. How many of us are trying to avoid something that God created us for? I remember the first time that I went in high school, oral communications, yeah, horrible trauma. Hated it. The only reason I passed was because of essays that I could write. I was so fearful of talking in front of people. And now here I stand preaching to hundreds of people. It's only by saying yes that you get to see what God can do through you. He picked my biggest fear to give him glory. Congratulations, God. Good job. Right? Like, what? My point is that God will use sometimes the thing that you're the most fearful of to give himself the most glory. And in that, that is what God made me for, is to preach to you and all those and touch people's lives and share with them and give them hope to know that God died for them and he has a plan for them. But I had to say yes to his plan before I could be used for anything. Can I be Captain Obvious for a moment? Because, look, I think that we all know kind of certain things, but I think that we know them, but we still don't do them. And so, how many of you know that God's plan for your life requires you to be accomplished? That God can't use and fulfill your plan through somebody else. It had to go through Mary, and Mary had to say yes. How many of you know that the plan that God has for you has to go through you? It can't go through somebody else. Because the people who are tied to your life need you to say yes so that the people that you are tied to can experience what they need to experience, so they can encounter what they need to encounter. And so she says she's a servant. A servant is willing to let go of personal desires, right? To fulfill God's. That's what a servant is. Is a servant is willing to abandon their own desires for the sake of God's. Are you a servant of God? Are you willing to abandon your own plan, your own desires, for his? And in that, I promise you, you will be the most fulfilled. There is no greater fulfillment. I mean, every week I preach, and I've been preaching for years. For 15 years I've been preaching to people. But still, every morning when I get up, I get nervous. Every morning. You wouldn't think it, but I do. Because you know what? My plan, because of his plan still requires me to trust him. So every time that God uses me, I still have to require and depend on him to help me get through everything that I do. So this is a good way you know if you're trusting God or not. Is it requiring trust on your part? Because if it's not requiring trust on your part, then it's probably your plan. Because I believe that we never get so confident in what God is doing in us that we can negate our trust in him. Because then we're operating outside of faith, and outside of faith there is no God's will. There is no God's plan. I'm not saying that you got to respond like how I respond, but I believe that there every Sunday morning when I get up to preach, there's a dependency of God, I want you to be glorified through everything that we do. And there's a lot of weight to that. And I want you to know that there's a lot of weight to your plan too. The plan that God has for you, there's a lot of weight to it. We should desire
to feel that weight. That we can't live flippantly through life and just go with the flow and just whatever happens. That we have to be intentional because we want to fulfill the plan that God has for our lives. Amen? If you would stand this morning as we close. You know, Joseph was affected by this. By her willing to say yes, it affected others as well. That it didn't just affect Mary. Now it affected Joseph and Joseph's family because they heard what happened. And now they're like, Joseph, you need to just leave her. But then the angel comes and has a conversation with him. And my point is that not everybody's going to understand God's plan for you, and that's okay. I remember when I called my dad years and years ago, and I said, God, I feel like I'm going to be in ministry. And the first thing he said to me is, how are you going to provide? How are you going to make money? And I was like, I thought right in that moment, I would have really appreciated man, I'm so proud of you, son. But I didn't get that. I got, hey, how are you going to provide for your family? But how many of you know that I didn't have to worry about that because that's God's deal. So many times we have things that people may not understand, and we allow those things to hinder God's plan in our life. And I could have said, man, I'm just going to do bivocational, but I wouldn't be as effective as I am today. That I've been able to become who I am because I was willing to fully submit. I feel like I need to go there for a minute. Look, you can't partially be in God's plan. You're either in or you're out. You're either fighting or you're following. You're either in it all the way or you're not at all. And a lot of us, we've convinced ourselves I'm in God's plan, but you know it's too comfortable or it's too mundane to be fully into God's plan. God is asking you, will you step and will you stop fighting and simply start following? So my question for you this morning is this, is what plans are you fighting? What plans are you fighting? Look, I've been there, probably be there still at some point. I'm going to fight God's plan. I mean, I remember even as the church is growing, this is an incredible thing. I mean, our church is growing like crazy, and it's like, you know, but in that, guess what? I had to begin to trust God for another plan that he was doing. We're going to go to two services. I'm going to have to preach twice. I'm going to have to do all of our volunteers. How many of you know that God has a plan, though? And I could have said no to that, and we could have stayed where we were, and we would have probably started decreasing. Because how many of you know God doesn't operate in the realm of no faith? And if you start seeing your life decrease, you better start looking at, what am I doing? I'm trying to ride my own plan here, and I'm trying to evade God's, and things aren't happening the way they should be. Now, I'm not saying that when you get in God's plan, you don't have to fight, because you do. Yeah, you're going to question yourself. You're going to think, I imagine Mary, what am I thinking? Like, first 2-3 months in, you don't see much of a baby. 5-6 months in, things are changing. Okay, thank God. Right? She thought she screwed everything up for a while, maybe. That was bad pizza. I was talking to an angel. But man, I want to challenge you to not fight God's plan. Allow your interruption to be an invitation into something so significant. Change and transform your life. I want to pray over you this morning. As we close, and you would say, you know what, maybe it's you, and you've been, maybe don't even fully know what that plan is. And look, I'm not asking you to know your ends and begin. I don't know my full plan. I just know I'm trying to live in that plan as best as I can. But I want to ask you this morning, if that's you, and you say, man, I can totally relate to, I'm either fighting the plan, I'm not aware of the plan, I want to be in the plan. Whoever that is this morning, I want you to see a raised hand this morning just so I can know who I'm praying for. Thank you for those hands all over. Man, Lord, you know every hand raised. You know every situation. You know the plan of all of our lives, God. And Lord, I pray for every one of them this morning, God, as they're lifting their hands, God, as they're giving their hearts to you, God, that they are so desperate to fall in line with your plan, God. I pray that you would enlarge their faith, God. Give them faith to believe you for things that are beyond what they can see in their own abilities. God, expand and enlarge everything that you want to do in them and through them. Father, I pray for just protecting their hearts, God, against the naysayers, against the voice of the enemy that would try to talk down. Lord, I thank you right now, God, for everything that you desire to do in their lives, God. I thank you that there are people that are going to be touched because of them saying yes to that plan. God, let us see the souls that are attached to our plan more than we see the fear that it takes to step out into it. We love you this morning. We honor and we submit our lives to that plan. This morning, maybe you've never made Christ your Savior. And you would say, I want to accept this Christ that you've been talking about. Maybe you've prayed the prayer a long time ago and you never really lived it out. And you say, I want to recommit. I want to rededicate my life to Christ. If that's you this morning, if you would, just slip your hand up real quick. I just want to pray for you this morning. You say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. Man, we love you, God. We thank you, God, that we are so privileged to celebrate Christmas. And God, when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate an obedient plan that you had through some woman who's willing to be obedient. We love you. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.